So we'll continue from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the songs sung by Lord Shiva, and text number 58. In the previous verse, we have discussed about the association of devotees. How Lord Shiva, he himself glorifies the importance of the association of devotees. In the next verse, that is text number 58, he says, Athangra grevas kirti tirthayor antar bahir snana vidhut papmanam Bhuteshvanrukrosha sushyut sattvashilinam Syat sangamo anugrahayeshanastav. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your Lordship to bless me by the association of your devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such a devotees. In the previous verse he says that even if someone take association of devotees like a half a moment even, that is the biggest benediction in this world. And that's why here he is praying to their Lord that please allow me to take association of such great souls who are your pure devotees. As Narottam Das Thakur, he sings the glory of devotees. There he mentions that the Ganga river is most sacred, and whoever goes and takes bath there, he gets washed off all of his sins. But for that, you need to go to the Ganges and take bath in the Ganges. But the glory of Vaishnavas is that by seeing them only once get purified. Gangara parasha hole paschatya pavan. Darshane pavitra koro yehi tomargo. If someone goes and takes bath in the Ganges, then he becomes purified. But by just having darshan or just seeing the Vaishnava, one can purify himself. That's the glory of association. And that's why the topmost among the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva, he is praying to their Lordship that please, if you really want to benedict me, then benedict me with the association of devotees. Why so? What is that really make so important? Or what is that really gives importance to the devotees? That is explained by Lord Shiva in the next verse. He says, Nayasya chittam bahirartha vibhramam tamo guhayam cha vishuddham avishat yad bhakti yoga anugruhita manjasa munir vichashte nanu tatrate gatim. The devotees whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. The glory of devotee is that na yasya chittam bahir artha vibhramam. Vibhrama means getting confused. Na yasya chittam. His mind is never get bewildered by the modes of material nature or by the external force of sense gratification. Why? Because he is favored by Bhakti Devi. Because he has taken the devotional service, so his all his senses are, as yesterday we were discussing, what that really binds us in this material world? Manashashtani indriyani, prakriti sthani karshati. The mind along with the five senses that really bounds us in this material world. As mind, if it is attached for the sense gratification, that bounds us in this world. And if it is detached from the sense gratification, then it takes away from this material world. And that's why here again he says it. Na yasya chittam. Chitta means mind. If someone's mind is not bewildered by the force of material sense gratification, that person gets favored by the Bhakti Devi. And because Bhakti Devi has shown her mercy on that soul, so he never gets bewildered by the modes of material nature. So both are interconnected. The mercy of Bhakti Devi and the desire of that living entity to take shelter of the Lord by detaching himself from the sense gratification. In the purport, Prabhupada says that he quotes it from previous canto, third canto, chapter 25 and text number 25, where Lord Kapil Dev, he is explaining to his own mother about the glories of associating devotees. He says that satam prasangad mama virya samvidau bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha tajoshanadashva pavarga vartmani shraddharatir bhaktirano krameshati. Simply, by the association of pure devotees, one can understand that transcendental name, fame, quality, activities of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Actually, in this verse, it says that satam prasangan. Satam prasangam. Satam means the people who has taken shelter of the absolute truth. Prasangat means taking their association. So what happens in their association? Mama virya samvidau. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that what are the characteristics of my devotees? As explained in the 10th chapter, I think text number 10 also. Machita madagata pranaha bhu. Machita madagata pranaha. Bodhayandi paraspara. Their mind is always engaged in me. They always discussed about me. Mama virya samvidau. Bodhayantastu paraspara. So both terminologies are same. They always discuss about the Lord. In the association of devotees, when you discuss Harikatha or the glories of the Lord, then what happens? Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. That becomes an elixir which enters through your ears and goes to your heart. And when that elixir enters to your heart, then what happens? Taj Joshanad Ashva Apavarga Vartamani. Taj Joshanad. When that elixir enters the heart, then it illuminates your heart. And that illumination what it gives the effect? Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukrameshati. The faith for the Lord, for the scripture, for the association of devotees. Then Rati, attachment. Anukrameshati, increases. That increases in your heart. And that's why one has to hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that sadhu sanga sarva shastra kai lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hai. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu sanga or association with a devotee means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by acting for Krishna, specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one. And this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of heart is cleansed. And the devotee loses interest in everything external. Bahir Artha Vibhrama. He never gets interested in anything which is externally alluring. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan vihetaraha. In the first canto, 5th chapter, in 23rd verse, it is explained, he whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Idam Vishwam Bhagavan Ivetaraha. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga or the association with the devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. Have you heard about Mirabai? She is a great devotee of the Lord. She is to see their Lordship face to face. So one day her husband asked her, I would like to see that Krishna who was in Dwapar Yuga. Then she just took him to the temple at their palace and he showed, here is this Giridhari. Then he said, no, no, not this one. I wanted to see that one, the actually who descended and who was there in the Dwapar Yuga. She said, he is here only. And said, no, I wanted to see that. Then she said, even he was in Dwapar Yuga, when Lord came, he stood in front of Duryodhana. He never understood him. Why? Because whose heart is contaminated, his sees things differently. He can't see things as it is. Always there is a perversion. So we have to understand that if you want to see things as they are, then you need the association of devotees. Because they are satam. Satam means who has taken shelter of the absolute truth. Only they can show you the Lord, no one else. And then further, Prabhupada, he explains. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy, which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. In all, there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. What are they? Hearing about the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, remembering His wonderful pastimes, establishing relationship with Him as His servant, rendering service at His lotus feet, offering aarti or personal service to the Lord. Even just going to the temple and offering pranams, obeisances in front of the Lord, is also considered as a devotional service. And then, full surrender. So these are the 9 processes of devotional service. And if you execute one of that also, that gives you a perfection. In any case, a pure-hearted devotee is never disturbed. The Bhakti Yoga process must be carried out by avoiding the 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Mahamantra and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping deities. I think we should have like a 2-3 days lectures on this.
Yeah, it's like a whole class itself.
Because to know this is very essential. If you really want to make progress, a really tangible progress in your spiritual life, then we should know that what are the things that really creating hindrance in our path of progress. And it is clearly explained here. There are like 10 offenses and 36 offenses that we do while rendering service to the Lord. So what are they? If you are walking on a path, you should know what are the obstacles are there. There is one particular type of a running they call. What they call that? They have to run, then again jump and run, again jump. Hurdles.
Yeah.
So we need to know what are these there in our journey toward back home, back to Godhead. Maybe next topic we will take that one after Ram Navami. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him. And at that time, he is never disturbed by chanting, by anything external. A devotee is called a muni. The word muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. The non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapil and Shukadeva Goswami are also called muni. And Vasudeva is addressed as Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as Muni or a thoughtful when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of the offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. So actually these prayers offered by Lord Shiva are so important to understand if you really want to make a progress in spiritual life. Because all these details are not explained anywhere else. A person who has practiced it in his life only knows that what are the obstacles there, you are going to get it. And what are the things that really boosts your spiritual life? And that was the topmost among the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva is giving you all these tips if you want to make progress in your spiritual life. Does it make sense? So if somebody wants to become a serious in his devotional endeavor, then these prayers are very essential to understand. Then further he says, Yatredam yajjate vishvam vishvam asmin avabhavtiyat tatvam brahma param jyotir akasham iva vistrutam. My dear Lord, the impersonal Brahman spreads everywhere, like the sunshine or the sky. And that impersonal Brahman, which spreads throughout the universe and in which the entire universe is manifested, is you. See, generally, the Jnana Yogis who run after acquiring Vedic knowledge, so their limitation has explained here. Their limitation is up to the realization of Brahma Jyoti. And Lord Shiva says, that impersonal Brahma Jyoti is nothing but your manifestation. Because it's the Lord who is the object of our sadhana. There are different sadhakas or the practitioner who practice spirituality in their life. There are some jnanis who run behind acquiring a knowledge. There are some yogis who take the path of Patanjali Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga system. And there are devotees. Because Vedas has explained about that. There are three parts that has explained in the Vedas. Karmakand, the ritualistic activities. Jnanakand, that is knowledge. And Upasana, which means worshipping the Lord. That we can call it as a bhakti also. So different sadhakas, they have different realization about the Lord. So jnanis, their realization, negation of this material world and just merging themselves into the impersonal feature of the Lord. And they accept Lord as an impersonal. Just light. Because they think anything which has a form has a problem in this world. Because whatever we see, we get entangled with that. We get attached to that. And that creates a bondage. So they say, no form. Forget about form. We don't want to see any sort of a form. Because every form has a limits. That's true. Form means it's somewhere, it has a limitation. That's why it has created a form. What's the form of ocean? It's unlimited. What is the form of sky? It's again unlimited. So they say that everything which is spread everywhere in this universe, that is sky. And beyond that is Brahma Jyoti. So that Brahma Jyoti is Lord, which is beyond their limitations. But here Lord Shiva says, for that impersonalist also they should understand that that manifestation is none other than the manifestation of the Lord Himself. And then further he says, Yo maya yedam pururupaya srajat bibarthi bhuyaha kshapayatya vikriyaha yad bheda buddhi sadivatma dustaya tatvatma tantram bhagavan pratimahi. My dear Lord, you have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation, and although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such a changes and alteration, the living entities are disturbed by them, and therefore they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. Tvam Atmatantram. Atmatantram means fully independent. As per the Sanskrit grammar, Karta means Swatantra, who is free, who is totally independent. And there is only one Karta or doer in this material world or spiritual world, and that is Lord Himself. That's what Lord Shiva has explained here. Like we do something, we create something, and if that gets annihilated, then what happens? We get disturbed. Like you make a nice painting, and somebody comes and taunts it away. Then what happens? You get freaked out. Huh? Why? Because we are attached to that thing. But Lord, who creates this material world, and He creates Himself, but He never gets disturbed with that. Because He is not attached. And that's why, among the six opulences, one opulence of the Lord is renunciation. Even though He creates this world, but He is not attached to this world. Because He is Atmatantra, He is totally independent. He is not dependent on anything in this world. We are always dependent on everything and anything in this world. Even if you want to be happy, you have to depend on something else rather than yourself. That's true? Is that true? To find a happiness, we have to depend on someone else. Because something else gives us happiness than ourselves. We try to find happiness in every other thing than our own self. That's our problem. But the Lord, He Himself is Ananda, Ananda Vigraha, or Raso Vaisa, the full of all the rasas that we see outside. Everything is within Him. And to understand that is very important for us, so that we can attach ourselves to the Lord. As explained by one of the Vaishnava poets, he says that Krishna Bhuli Sei Jiva Anadi Bahirmukha Atayeva Mayatare Deya Samsara Dukha. When the living entity forgets the Supreme Lord and wants to enjoy Himself independently, imitating the Supreme Lord, he is captured by the false notion that he is the enjoyer and is separated from the Supreme Lord. And this material energy is therefore very much troublesome to the spiritual energy, the living entity. But that material energy never troubles the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, because He is creator of that energy. And whenever Krishna is there, this troubling part is not there. Because Krishna is like a sun, and this material energy is like a darkness. So where there is a sun, there is no presence of darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakar Jaha Krishna Taha Maya Ranai Adhika. So that we need to understand. Then further, Lord Shiva says, Kriya kalape ridameva yoginaha shraddhanvita sadhu yajanti siddhaye putendriyanta karana upalakshitam vede cha tantre cha tayeva kovida. My Lord, your universal form consists of 5 elements: the senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is the material, and the Paramatma. Your partial expansion, who is the director of everything, yogis other than the devotees, namely the Karma Yogi, the Jnana Yogi, worship you by their respective action in their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas, and indeed everywhere, that it is only you who are to be worshipped, that is the expert version of all the Vedas. As Lord, he has explained himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 15, that he is the object of Vedic studies. Sarvasya chahan radhi sannivishto matta smritir gyanam apovanam cha vedesha sarve rahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videvasya. He is the person who lives in everyone's heart. From him the remembrance and forgetfulness comes, and he is the sole purpose of studying the Vedas, the object of Vedas to understand the Lord, because he only can understand that, because he has created the Vedas. So Vede sarvet sarvatra giyate, all over the Vedas, who is glorified? The Lord himself, no one else. There is only a glorification of a Lord everywhere. And that's why it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajet purushat param. Whatever process you may follow or you practice, that you do it for the Lord. Whether you have a desire or you don't have any desire, just worship the Supreme Personality of God. Even in Karma Kanda also, there are people who worship different personalities to get their different results. But ultimately, whom they are worshipping? Because he is the one who is going to supply you. Even if you worship Indra for getting a rains, but who is going to give that rains to Indra? That is Krishna ultimately. And that's why Lord says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I think verse 23, Ye api anya devata bhaktaha yajanti shraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva ya kaunteya yajanti avidipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Because anything you do in this world that is meant for the pleasing the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, not for any other's pleasure. In Vishnu Puran, it is explained that Varnashram Acharat Bataha Purusheena Parappuman Vishnu Raradhyate Pantaha Na Anyatatosha Karanam. You may be any sort of a yogi which practices different paths of spirituality, but ultimately the object of all these processes and practices is to please the Narayana. Ante Narayana Smriti. By practicing everything, lastly what do you have to do? At the time of death, you have to remember the Lord. And for that, you have to perform all the practices. So the ultimate object of all the practices in this world is Supreme Personality of a Godhead. And that's what has clearly explained here by Lord Shiva. So we will stop here and we'll continue next week. Hare Krishna.